Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire, makers of award-winning workforce planning and analytics solutions that make the crowd go wild. Find out more about the newest org publisher, version 10. Visit Acquire.com today for details on how we've perfected workforce reporting. It'll make you...
Starting off the show with the wireless internet just dropping. Although, quite frankly, 4 minutes of that kicking ass Journey song was probably worth the trouble, I think.
I was wondering why it was going on so long. I mean, you said you wanted to do a long intro, but...
It brought me back to eighth grade.
Yeah,
Slow skate. Jimmy, slow down.
It was fantastic. So, Shauna, you're on top of the switchboard right now while I try to get reconnected. So, hey,
right,
welcome. We're here. We're on HR Happy Hour. It's great to be with you. It is a cold, cold Thursday night up here in the north. But we're here.
It's raining down here.
Well, of course. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to Acquire, our great sponsors of the HR Happy Hour, doing great stuff, and as always, down in Texas. This is episode 86. This is called the Crossover Show. It's being recorded live, and I think we're in mono, not in stereo, although I'm not sure of that. being recorded live on February 10th, 2011. So here we are on the HR Happy Hour. I'm Steve Bose, your host for the next hour or so. I'm joined, as always, coming to us from sort of the HR Happy Hour Southern Command Center.
Oh.
Really, how I look at you is sort of like our own little ray of sunshine, Shauna Morkey.
Oh.
How are you tonight, Shauna?
I'm doing very well. That made me feel special.
You like that? That was good. I wrote that up. It's got to be nicer where you are down in Orlando, Florida, than it is up here.
Well, you know, I think Florida has been lying to everyone. They say it's the sunshine state. I have not seen much sunshine.
Really?
Maybe it's me. Maybe I brought the bad weather down with me. But, dude, it is like foggy or rainy or what have you.
Get out. Well, let's hope there's a quick end to that. So, but it's been a crazy week. This week has been a crazy week. It kind of feels like, in some ways, like... You know, most people kind of think the holidays, you have Christmas, you have New Year's, and then sort of the real work sort of begins. But to me, it's kind of like after the Super Bowl, then the real year starts, right? Because there's that real sort of post-Super Bowl kind of letdown. I don't know. Did you watch the game, Shauna? Did you like? I mean, it is a letdown, isn't it?
Aww.
Did you watch the game?
You know,
do you have any comments on what you saw?
I was kind of unpacking while watching, so I was in and out and in and out. I mean, I am from Minnesota, so I guess I'm not so thrilled on the Packers. Not that I'm really that big on the Vikings, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, no, it was a good game, really exciting, interesting commercials. But there's a downtime. Do you know, Shauna, I don't know if you're a sports person, but, you know, why did the Sports Illustrated, you know, famous swimsuit edition come out in February, right? Because February was that downtime. The Super Bowl was over and baseball hadn't started, and the guys who made Sports Illustrated, you know, they had to have been guys, right? Who else is going to hatch up a plan to make a magazine full of bikini women, right? So that's
right.
Why the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue always came out in February for this kind of downtime. But anyway, so let's a couple quick bits of information while we struggle with our technology here and talk about the Super Bowl.
I can tell you're trying to.
I am. Can you tell I'm stalling? I think I'm back. I think I'm back online. So, tonight, HR Happy Hour. The call-in number tonight, of course, and it should be on your speed dial out there or whatever.
It really should.
Really, I mean, at this point, 646-378-1086. Please press 1 if you want to come on board tonight. We'll get you on board easily tonight. We are strongly encouraging some calls and some conversation tonight. On Twitter, our hashtag, of course, HR Happy Hour, and we'll keep an eye on that as well. So, and you know what? I never mentioned this, Shauna, but I will mention we have a show blog site where we post information about the show, how to get in touch with us, and we never mention it, but I will mention tonight it's hrhappyhour.net. HRHappyHour.net. If you go there, you can see information about the shows, listen to the show, the past shows. And in fact, I think there's a widget on that site, Sean. I'm not sure anymore, but I think there's still a widget. If you go to that HRHappyHour.net, they can order a signed 8x10 glossy of you, right, that you'll autograph and send out.
And if they order now, I'll sign it personally and kiss it, too, with some lipstick.
Yeah, so if you want your picture of Shauna, get on there as well. So HRHappyHour.net. All right, so we are going. Let's get right to it. Let's welcome our guests to the show. We are really pleased tonight to have a couple of fantastic guests. We're really sort of welcoming them back. You know, the masterminds behind the Drive Through HR show, which is, you know, in some ways kind of like a companion show or a sister show, right, to what we're doing here tonight. Although, quite frankly, Shauna, these guys work way harder than we do, right? They're doing their thing every single day. But in props to them. So first, let's welcome to the show, longtime friend of the show, the great Mr. Brian Wempen. Brian, how are you tonight?
Hey, it is a beautiful time to be an internet radio show host and guest, I might add.
I'm telling you what, it's blowing up.
Glad to be back on. Great show. Love you guys, and just glad to be here.
Great. Brian, thank you so much. Welcome again. Next, we want to welcome to the show a man that needs, you know, really little introduction, and I figured out why, Shauna. He needs little introduction because typically he's wearing, like, a shirt or a hat that says his name right on it, right? So
it's all about branding.
Yeah, exactly. So let's welcome, you know, Mr. Will.i.am Tin Cup. William, welcome back to the show.
How are y'all? Shauna, Steve, thank you very much for having us on.
William, it is our pleasure, you know, to have you and Brian back on the show. We really appreciate it. You're doing double duty. I know you were on today earlier, and you're back with us again tonight, so that's fantastic. So super to have you on as well. So, and all, by the way, I just want to mention this for folks who are listening right on Twitter tonight, the over-under, and it's going to start right now for William uttering some kind of curse word or really sort of inflammatory statement is 8 minutes.
Yay.
8 minutes starting from now. And I have 8:09 p.m. Eastern time. So,
swearing is entertaining. I'm go for it.
But of course, you know, it's just for informational purposes only. We're not really condoning wagering. So,
But say, you're going across state lines, they're going to bust you.
Yeah,
bust
you're
you
right.
Some
right.
RICO Act.
That's all we need. So great. So this is the crossover show. We called it the crossover show because the great guys from Drive Through HR were coming on the HR Happy Hour tonight, and we're really excited about that. And I mean, crossovers really sort of have a long history, right, of being kind of interesting and exciting. I seem to remember, although it's quite possible I'm making this up, you know, like I can remember like a Captain Steubing. I seem to remember like a Captain Steubing appearance at the Regal Beagle. Having a cocktail with Jack and Chrissy. I don't know if anyone else remembers that, but I kind of do.
Whoa.
I'm going to pretend it happened. So this show's kind of like the HR and workforce kind of version of like Oprah coming on the Letterman show. That's kind of how I look at it.
I see the parallels there.
Fantastic.
Big time.
Yeah. So
big
great
time.
Let's get to it, man. You guys are kicking butt, you know, in the daytime, and your show's been great. It's been awesome lately, and so it's great to have you here. So, I mean, maybe just a little bit. We'll start off just a little bit about, man, how's that been? What's happening with you guys just in general with the show a little bit, and just what's happening, you know, in your world? Brian, I'll throw it to you. Just from some general observations, how you see things.
You know, it's been awesome. We've had to we definitely have stepped it up. I mean, last year, because we just actually crossed the year mark. February 1st of last year was when we actually started the show. So we had a very low key, like I forgot about it, type anniversary show for that.
You really downplayed it then, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely took a little more of a light gray tan approach to it. And so anyway, it's, you know, we've really changed it up to be trying to find the best, HR professionals. You know, you obviously both have been on the show. Has been interesting. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's been challenging, but it's been great to just have conversations with people that are out there doing HR every single day. Real HR. Benefits, open enrollment, labor relations, I mean, all the crap that is really hard.
Yeah.
Compared to what, you know, supporting, I play a supporting role, obviously, with HR as more the vendor side, but when they start talking about, you know, cost containment on their healthcare plan, I'm like, oh, my God, that just sounds difficult.
Yeah, that can be an eyes glaze over kind of moment, right?
Yeah, no, it's just I'm really happy that people are good at what they do type moment. So, but it's been awesome. We've had such good conversations and, we had a great call today great show today. And, every day is awesome. I look forward to lunch hour to get the conversation. So I guess I'm in the right place right now if I'm still enjoying it. So,
right.
So, definitely. Thanks for having us on, by the way.
No, appreciate it. William, man, it's kind of a new thing to you. Brian had been doing the drive-through HR thing for a little while, and you sort of joined forces at the beginning of this year. So, you know, just a little bit about what's been like for you to be sort of, you know, doing this every single day and being out there, you know, creating content and you know, driving the conversation each day.
Yeah. I think my odyssey, when Brian and I started talking about it in kind of October, November time frame, I looked at my learning, my personal growth and my learning plan for wanting to go. In fact, if you go back to kind of late June, early July when I kind of I left Startinka, I was known as an entrepreneur, known as a marketer, known as one of those types of people, consultant to the companies that sold HR. And so anecdotally, I know HR, and I ran a business, you know, for 12 years. So I know HR from, you know, an entrepreneurial perspective. But to really to mash that up against with, Steve, your experience, or Shona, your experience, or pick anyone that's been a guest, Lori Rudiman, Chris Dunn, any of these types of people that actually have worked in HR, I kind of knew, but I didn't really know. And so one of the pursuits when Brian and I first started talking about it is like, I don't really want to talk to consultants or vendors or folks that are out there that are tangential to people that actually work a desk. From my personal, you know, I'm just looking through the lens of William Tincup, I actually wanted to learn from people that are doing the job. And so some of that was also my odyssey to study for the SPHR, and some of it was learning every day.
Which you passed, I heard, right?
I mean, yeah, I did. Well, I did, and thank God, because that was, I had, yeah, thanks. I hadn't passed a test. I hadn't taken a test in 12 years, and I was really nervous. I had a lot of test anxiety, and so I built a study plan, worked my plan, all that stuff. But the actual show, day-to-day part of the show that I enjoy is the storytelling part. Each person is different. They're different in both their role, their approach, their market. Everything is so much more complex than as a marketer I'd really given it credit. You know, I kind of boiled things down as a marketer to there are really three types of people in HR, strategic HR, tactical HR, and people that are tactical but aspire to become strategic. And I'd kind of made the world that small. And the truth is, as I'm learning and evolving, it's much more complex than that. And what I get a lot of energy out of, you know, on a daily basis, is talking to people and just learning their story, learning what they're going through, and kind of developing kind of a sense of, you know, sharing that information and empathy to kind of walk for that 30 minutes, kind of walk in their shoes a little bit. And so it's a great learning odyssey for me, and I hope that as we kind of go through that we learn something and we can share some of our stories with each other as well.
William, thanks for that, Brian, as well. Let's do a quick, Shauna, quick reset. This is HR Happy Hour. Due to my technical difficulties and my sort of attachment to the journey, we had a long intro song, so we're already 15. We're already 15 or 16 minutes into the show, but this is HR Happy Hour. This is episode 86. I didn't even mention that, Shauna.
Dude.
We are marching towards episode 100, well, basically one episode at a time, which is sort of the right way to march. But we're getting there soon. And with us, of course, William Tincup, Brian Wempin, Shauna Morkey's with us. You're with us as well, if you're hearing my voice right now. HR Happy Hour, our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Please call in, press 1, get on board with these guys tonight on Twitter, HR Happy Hour as well. So really great to have Brian and William with us. And so we had a couple topics we kicked around sort of in the pre-show prep, and I'm going to jump into sort of topic number 2 that I had initially thought about, which is about sort of fortune favors. Well, what does fortune favor? And this is kind of, you know, maybe just a little take on what's going on with the, you know, these fortune best places to work list, or any other kind of, you know, best list, most innovative, best places for Gen Y list, you know. I mean, do these things matter? Is it important to get on them? I mean, you know, do these lists really mean anything, or can they be made more meaningful? William, I'll throw it to you first. Do you care about these best places to work lists?
Well, I'll start with the jaded side of things that I used to have. Is that I used to think that you could just buy these awards. So I'll go real dark, if y'all don't mind, for just a second. I thought, because I had worked in PR, I thought that you wanted a Fortune award, you just bought it and put the sticker on your window and you're good. When Brett and I, probably around 2006, when we actually wanted to go after best places to work in Dallas, Brett had won the award with several companies that he had been with, so he knew the process. So he wasn't as jaded as I was. And so we had to reorganize the entire business and the business plan around winning best places to work through the local business journal. And okay. I'll tell you that, first of all, when you reorganize the entire business and say, we want to become a best places to work, you start to really kind of readjust your values. You start to say, well, what does that mean? What are we really trying to do? And the best places to work is three things. It's your compensation strategy, your benefit strategy, and your environment. And if you have a bulletproof compensation plan for employees, and if you have a bulletproof benefits package for employees, and you have a kick-ass environment for employees, turns out those awards are actually shrewd retention tools. Okay. So if you think of it like that, that
are they more like are they retention tools or more like attraction tools? You know what I mean?
Well, both. Both.
Okay.
Yeah, you're attracting people that want to be there, and the people that are there are never going to work anywhere else, never want to work anything else. So it changes the power dynamic between management employees. We've created, you're getting paid above market rate. Your benefits are above market rate. Your environment, you can't find anywhere else. I now have all the power in this relationship, meaning now I can fire you, but you're still going to want to work here. Whereas people that don't have those things, either one of the three legs of the stool, then they don't have that power dynamic. Employees can find a better way to get compensated or better benefits or a better work environment. So I do believe them. Now, I started with the dark. I didn't believe them. In fact, I went to the other end of not believing them. I thought you could just buy them. I've now had to go through that process. And Start 10 Cup has won 08, 09, 10, and Texas Monthly's Best Places to Work. And I know how hard it is to win those awards. It's not, you can't game it. And there's a survey company, a market research company out of Omaha, Quantum Research. They actually are the survey instrument behind Great Places to Work, Best Places to Work. And you can't game it. You might think you can. But truthfully, if you want to attract talent, you want to retain talent, then first of all, you have to reorganize the company. So it's not as easy as, we're going to become the best places to work. Everyone's got to get bought in. Board, executive staff, everyone's got to get bought in. And you have to literally tear down those three pillars, if you will. So I do believe in it.
Well, that's really interesting. And I'm interested that you mentioned the power shift dynamic, because one of the notes I had for the show was about sort of – if we got to talking about openness and transparency and sort of the prevalence for the way organizations work and the way people work to be more open, right? Everything's being shared, right? There's hardly any secrets anymore. And whether or not that was shifting the power dynamic from employers to employees, right? Because you could theoretically, right, get better and more information about what it's really like to work at an organization. And you specifically mentioned the power dynamic, that if you're creating a best places to work type environment, that you're moving that power pendulum back to the employer side, which I found kind of interesting. Brian, I don't know if you your thoughts on that. You know, you're really, aware of what's happening in the social space. Do you get the sense that in many instances power is starting to shift more away from employers and more towards people, employees, just because more information is available?
Yeah, I mean, that's, the transparency on that, I think is a little bit more, a little bit more presented as how powerful it is than it really is. I mean, I just can't believe, that it's driving companies to change, the overall philosophy on how they treat their customers, how they treat their employees, kind of on a macro level.
Right.
I think you have different what's happening is you're getting this more, a better lens to look at companies and say, I'm able to go research and find these things out. But overall, I think what it's more than likely doing is connecting and building a community around, consumers that use the same products, employees that work for the same companies. I think it's building communities, and I think the overall community component of it might be starting to put some pressure on management to take a look at things. And so it's kind of the long way around to get to your answer that I think it is affecting it, but probably not in the way relative to transparency. I think it's the more power of the community that's actually probably driving things. Because, you get enough people organized and starting to drive a single thought or an opinion. Let's look at Egypt as an example. And you've got a community that is starting, that started out fairly small and started to get legs. And then, obviously we've seen lots and lots over the last month what's going on. And we here probably wouldn't have known as much as we do if we wouldn't have had, a lot of it around social media. So that community is able to now put some of that information out a lot quicker and get opinions driving. So I think it's the same thing for businesses, that you're starting to see a shift, and I think as you get the workforce more prevalent and more prevalent around people that are on a phone. You know, we talked about this on pre-show, you know, that much rather would have a little more context and be able to, on their own time, to get back to somebody. The more that becomes prevalent in the workforce where people are like, I really don't want to talk to them about it. I'd rather get back to them or communicate a different way. When all that comes to be, I think you're going to see some pretty dynamic shifts, you know, give it five, six years from now. I think it's going to be a lot bigger issue than it is now as far as the speed of things changing.
Brian,
so,
thanks for that.
Answer, by the way. That was a journey-like opening
Brian,
answer.
Brian, it's an hour show. We've got time. You know, in fact,
yeah,
they don't Sean, as far as I know, they don't charge us anymore if we go a little over. That's okay, actually.
I would hope not.
Yeah, it's fine. So, no worries. So, we're on HR Happy Hour with Brian Wempen, William Tincup. Sean Markey is here, of course. I'm Steve Bose. This is the crossover show. You know, like those classic crossovers we talked about. You know, I read a lot of comic books as a kid.
Ooh.
So I would love, like, when the Punisher would show up in a Spider-Man book or Luke Cage Power Man would drop into an Iron Man kind of story. So
wow.
The crossover thing is fantastic. So, we're really happy that Brian and William were able to join us tonight. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. Please press 1 if you want to come on board. We will get you on, I promise. Twitter, hashtag HR Happy Hour. All of you out there are out there, and you know what you're doing. So, and Shauna, if you see anything that we need to stop the wheels of the show to talk about on Twitter, please.
Other than...
Please do.
Bringing up Happy Days.
Happy Days, the TV show?
Yes.
That was a great show. And, although I got to say, there's a little bit of a sore spot for me when you talk about Happy Days, right? Because when we were down at HR Florida last summer, and Henry Winkler was the keynote speaker, the closing, I guess it was the closing keynote speaker, I think he was. We were sort of close to getting him to appear on the show, and then, of course, it failed miserably. Although, Sean, I hear Potsy might be available. So if we can, we may book him in the next little while. So, hey, we've got a caller who wants to come on board. I'll take this call, line 4, area code 813. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Oh, man, there must be a short line. It's Mike Vandervoort, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just called in to point out that it's really not like Punisher and dropping into Spider-Man. It's more like the Avengers dropping into Justice League of America.
Wow.
It's a DC Marvel crossover here, not like a one brand. You guys got separate shows.
Oh.
So,
well made.
Yeah, I thought it was really important to contribute that. So,
Victoria, Mike, hold on a second. Victoria, I know you're listening. Victoria, I'd like you to comment on Twitter or call in about your thoughts on the DC Marvel crossover because you're my comment resource.
Since Disney now owns Universal and Spider-Man, right? So anyway, I just wanted to say hello to everyone and demonstrate my expertise on comics. So with that, I'm going to withdraw and let you guys get back to real HR stuff. See you later,
Mike. Thank you so much. Yes, I walked into the Victoria store, the Disney store in Times Square last week, and it was like Marvel stuff everywhere. It was fantastic. I was loving it. So. Victoria, if you're out there, please chime in. So we appreciate that. So, you know, so let's talk about power, right? You know, William mentioned it about the power shift. And here's my question, right? I want to know. I'm gonna mute Vandervoort because I think he's, you know, out on the Key West bridge or something. But William, I'll throw it to you. Is power really shifting? I mean, we love to talk about it, especially people who are really, you know, bloggers, social media people. We love to talk about, you know, all the power is going to the consumers and, you know, command and control is disappearing and everything's going to collaboration. We just love to talk about that. I mean, is that really true, at least in the majority of organizations that people work in?
Yeah, I think as it relates to the comment about power, I think only when you have a bulletproof retention strategy that, like, taking into account some of the things that make you the best places to work, does it mean that you would have some type of power relationship as an employer over your employees? And I don't think it's even spoken of, quite frankly. I mean, I don't think that they kind of market it that way. I think companies are shrewd enough to kind of figure out that if you're working at a best places to work year in and year out, why would you ever leave? And so, you know, I think they, I think that that exists. I don't think we talk about it enough. In terms of transparency, I honestly don't believe people really want transparency. I think we act like we want it, but I think that for the most part, I think people want to be led. And I think they want their leaders to have integrity and clearly communicate goals and expectations. But I don't think really, I don't think day-to-day employees really want to know what's going on with the company, because that's what you pay the executives to deal with, is the hard decisions. So I think in some ways, you know, if you're running a commune, it's one thing, but most people that are running, you know, for-profit businesses aren't running communes. And so I believe that we talk about collaboration, we talk about command and control and how it's broken, but I've seen it firsthand when employees, you give them, hey, here's what's going on with the business, it's dark, it looks like this, what would you advise, and they buckle. Not all, but most people, they want management to handle those things. And so I think, you know, when times are good and the information is positive, I think transparency is a wonderful thing. But when you're dealing with anything that's gray or dark, I think transparency is a failed strategy. I think that's what you pay executives for. You should hold them accountable, but you should let executives be executives. So I'll sum that up. I don't really believe in transparency.
You don't, so yeah, it's just a fake, right?
Clearly.
But why? But we're talking about it. It's sort of a constant refrain. Like, I read something recently, right? I mean, this is really transparency, but it's more about, you know, sort of the power notion we talked about. Was it was about Facebook, right? The sort of the darling of the internet industry right now, and 600 or who knows how many more million users. There's an article I read about how Facebook engineers, you know, how they sort of work on what they work on and how that's sort of derived. And the essential bit of the story was, well, they just decide what they want to work on, right? Because the engineers drive the company and they just decide. So if you're a product manager or a marketing manager and you're pitching your, you know, update to the news feed or picture sharing thing that you've got in your mind, you've got to convince the engineers that your idea is worth working on for them to work on it. So, you know, sort of the lesson being, well, you know, those really valuable, those important employees, that they really have all that power. And but is that just the rampant exception, just an extraordinary situation in an extraordinary company? Or is it really true that you know, in the age of openness and everything's available, that individual employees and people really do have more power than they think they do?
Did you
sell here, though? I did. That was a difficult question. That was, I said, researched that, Shauna. I read about that.
You put effort into the show tonight?
A little bit.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, I just don't think so. I mean, call it cynical. I agree pretty much with, you know, with William. I mean, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's really difficult, kind of to go back up a few thousand feet. It's really difficult to run companies. And I think that that's something that, you know, when you get a labor management type shift in power, to go back to that, I think it's, you know, there's a healthy balance there. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a reason that, you know, there's a reason that the executives and the management team all get, you know, get compensated, you know, and have to worry 24/7, 365 about the company, you know, because at the end of the day, the employees, for the most part, don't have to worry about payroll. They don't have to worry about the surprise audit. They don't have to worry about OSHA walking in. They don't have to worry about, you know, XYZ. And so that shift in power can be incredibly unhealthy to the organization's just sustainability. You know, and that's what I mean. I read a lot about that, but I've now been a part of either starting or owning six different companies, and some of them, you know, for the most part, they were pretty small, less than 20 employees. And it was, you know, it's difficult. It is really difficult, you know, making sure just that everything is working the way it's supposed to, plus do business development, plus try and drive brand, you know, that's what I was always so impressed about Star Tin Cup, is they really had a focused effort, you know, in driving being a best place to work, and they did an amazing job, and that's a really tough thing to do. So
yeah, I mean, right, and so there's this, on the one side we have this notion of, you know, everything's getting more open, everything's getting more transparent, organizations are getting flatter, and on the other side there's this sort of tension between, well, I'm not really sure that's how we can get things done, you know, and lots of people really would prefer sort of the old style sort of hierarchical structure. I mean, you know, William, I'll start with you. I mean, are we really moving to an area where people are advancing in organizations just simply based on merit? I mean, or is that just a fallacy or just a clever idea or a fanciful idea that we like to talk about?
Well, meritocracy has its place, and I think if you have an environment top-down where everyone's bought in that says best idea wins, if the secretary has it, great. If an engineer that's been here 30 years has it, great. If the CEO has it, great. Now, that is a great leveler, and I think in certain environments that actually really works. When everyone's bought in and everyone kind of approaches it that way, whether it be creative or engineering or whatever, best idea wins and everyone's bought into that system, perfect. It's when you have a system like that, like meritocracy, and you say best idea wins unless an executive comes up with an idea. And that's where that meritocracy can be failed, because it's, well, we're all in it together, we're going to come up with great ideas, but really we trump you. So come up with some ideas, and then that's a disincentive. And I'd like to segue into something Frank Zupan has said on Twitter. He asked a question about transparency and basically how can you hold people accountable if you're not transparent? And what I would say to that is that you can hold leaders, first of all, you can hold them to the outcomes. So you can agree, the board should agree with executives on what are the outcomes, and you can agree on the outcomes. And I think that's, you don't have to be transparent about every single action. And I think that's, you know, once again, I think it's a climate. Steve, to your question about meritocracy,
right.
It's what climate do you have as an organization, and what system, what style of leadership is going to be, you know, thrive in your organization?
William, thanks for that. Brian as well. Shauna, I think we need to take just a deep breath, a step back. Can I say
is
cleansing
too much for
breath?
You?
I'm going to take I heard that somewhere in some sort of bizarre prior existence. So, let's reset. It's HR Happy Hour. William Tinkup is with us. Brian Wempen is with us. We're talking about transparency, authenticity, lots of other things. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. You are encouraged to call in and get on board with us tonight on Twitter.
Definitely.
Our hashtag is HR Happy Hour. So lots of activity on the Twitter stream tonight as well, and we appreciate
always.
That. So, you know, I don't know, you know, where are we at? So we're transparency, authenticity. Let's segue a little bit into where things are going, right? Because I kind of have a feeling that there are some quarters of the world that say, you know what, there are no more secrets, right? Unless you're developing some sort of top secret technology, you know, that really needs to be secret. But I think lots of organizations and people inside of organizations think what really needs to be secret really isn't all that valuable, and no one really cares, right? Like no one's hacking into your secret sauce to, you know, to make, you know, product XYZ, and sort of we sort of make this sort of fake, you know, secrecy kind of thing. I mean, we'll be better off just sort of opening up and just being completely open, whether it's, you know, products, services. I mean, do we sort of like elevate our own self-importance by declaring that things need to be secret? If that makes sense at all?
Yeah, this is Brian. Absolutely. I mean, I completely agree that there is. That's a great way to articulate that. I mean, you know, unless there's a formula or an algorithm that's something technical, then you know, there's probably something that you shouldn't be doing or should be doing if you've got to lock it down. You know what I mean? Outside of a merger or something very strategic or financial or something fiduciary, or proprietary. I mean, the majority of that is all just, you know, kind of elevated self-importance, elevated, you know, a little elevated drama of, you know, how reckless this is being. I mean, I think a lot of that, you know, is absolutely a waste of time and energy.
Right, because it's the old knowledge tower thing. If I have that little bit of information, right, that no one else knows or that I can control, who knows, that's power, right, in an organization?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's and again, that control factor. I mean, you tend to do that anyway. I cycle through the, oh man, what do I do with this little piece of information? And then, you know, the reality is, you know, if I told my 7-year-old granddaughter, she'd be like, oh, whatever, you know, go away. That is so not important, not interesting, which is probably more the truth than how important I thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this made sense back in, you know, the 80s, 90s, whatever. You know, my first boss, right, my first mentor in the business world was the CFO of our division at AT&T, and we supervised, right, Sean, it was insane. We had, like, 35 people trying to come up with the accounting numbers for this division. It was, like, the height of sort of monopoly-based, you know, unlimited profits, but... And so what he told me, the only thing I really remember from those days was we had memos, right? I guess we had email, but, you know, most of the folks didn't really like it. And he said, when you got a memo, here's what you do. You look at who it was written to, and then you flip to the last page, and you look at the CC bit, right, and who else. So it didn't really matter what the memo said. I mean, it kind of mattered, but not really. What mattered was who else might potentially know that bit of information. And then you would read the information and figure out what to do with it, right? And so, I mean, but now, does that even make sense, right? Theoretically, inside the organization, there are more secrets. Everything's out on email or on the intranet or shared drives. So, but still, there those aspects of organizations clinging to that, I've got the secret knowledge, right?
Well, Steve, let me ask, because I'm fascinated by this part of the conversation, not that I wasn't fascinated by the rest of it. This
We're just getting your interest, aren't we, William?
Wow.
Takes 30 minutes or so for us to warm up.
Someone get that guy a shot. If we think about, like, social media, and we think about how people partition different parts of social media off, and Twitter's for business, LinkedIn's for social, Facebook's for my family, and this, that, and the other. And you, to your question, how can you have this fractured kind of view out there on the internet where I'm straight-laced over here, and I'm really funny over here, or I'm outrageous on this platform, and this is just for my friends and family and people I went to college with, et cetera. I used to try to failed miserably at it, quite frankly. And then I just approached and said, you know what, screw it. It's all the same. Yeah, they're different, and, you know, they should probably be used differently, but no one really knows, and no one's really an expert. I mean, everyone claims to be an expert. No one really knows how these things should play out. So I'm just going to be the same guy everywhere. I'm the same guy on Twitter. I'm the same guy on Facebook. I'm the same guy on Google. I'm the same guy over here. I'm the same guy when you meet me. Now, the downside to that, I would tell you, is that some people just don't like that, and they don't like the way I've used the mediums, A, or they just don't like me, and what they come to realize, oh, that's okay, quite frankly, that's good, it's a filtering system for me, because if they weren't going to like me the way I use, quote-unquote, I'm using quotes, so everyone put quotes up, the way I use Facebook, well, fuck them. They weren't going to like me anyhow.
Oh,
I mean,
the over.
Gonna...
If you had the over, you
Yay!
Won, by the way. We were well over 8 minutes.
They weren't,
that did take a while.
They weren't going to like me in person. So there you go. Have a nice day. And I think that, to your point, how can companies kind of contain this? I don't think companies can, and I think being genuine, being authentic, transparent, you know, while I said an inflammatory thing about transparency, I think China, you know, is right on the Twitter stream. I think there's an appropriateness to transparency, and that's really what we're trying to figure out is where do you use the sledgehammer to kill the ant, and what is appropriate in terms of transparency for both the audience your employees, stakeholders, shareholders, et cetera, and management.
And that's appropriate use. William, I'm glad you made those points, and that sort of leads me segue a little bit into next week right on the show. And we talked about this a little bit on the pre-show. Next week on the show, Sherry Turkle from MIT is coming on.
So excited, and
we're talking about her book and her research about, you know, social networking and sort of the relationship between humans and computers and robots and things like that. It's going to be fascinating. But one of the points she makes in her book, and Brian, I know you've been sort of interested in this as well, is that, you know, that in the social space, whether it's, you know, from projecting your personal sort of persona out there or operating under a corporate sort of paradigm, but it's a persona and it's ultimately kind of fake or at least certainly an aspect of what's the real you, and it's not really you at all anyway. And so whether or not, you know, what you're portraying out there is really you or not becomes nebulous and gray, and so, like, why hide it in a way, I guess? I don't know if I'm not sure if I've asked you a question other than to just pitch it to you and your thoughts on sort of the impact on sort of the openness of just individuality out in the social space and what that means for the workforce.
I mean, I think it's been one of the biggest kind of changes in the workforce for a lot of people, and I've met a lot of people, it's myself included, that when you can go into a social situation, you know, be it maybe business oriented, and have a little bit of familiarity with who you're dealing with, you cut through the awkwardness, you can actually start to really develop some relationships a lot quicker. For everybody out there, I mean, I get all the, you know, all the, you got to sometimes dodge crazy, and you got to do, you know, you got to run around some of the other, you know, toxic type folks. But, you know, for the most part, it's really good, you know, speaking for myself, being able to, over the last few weeks, I've had dinner with, Chris Arilla in Atlanta. I've had dinner with Steve Brown in Cincinnati. I'm hopefully going to see Trish.
Did Brown pick up
Dwayne.
The check? I mean, I want to know that about Brown.
He absolutely
did. Did you get pizza?
That's good.
Very gracious. We ate, you know, the hometown favorite there, La Rosa's, and it was a nice pie. It was a nice pie. So
I want to try that place. We were supposed to do a show there.
Yeah,
awesome.
Cincinnati, by the way, for getting that.
I got the good tour of the 513. So it's cool. And then Trish and Dwayne up in St. Louis, hopefully next week. I mean, that's all familiarity through social, you know, through kind of your social networking and social media. So, again, for a lot of people, I think it just helps take down a little bit of that awkwardness to where.
So, Brian, I just want to stop you there.
Happen.
Brian, let me stop you there. I'm going to ask you a question. So you mentioned several of the folks that you've met at other events, or maybe you've only known through social circles and then you've met in real life. But Sherry Turkle is going to come on next week and sort of make the argument that we're all sort of fake in these social environments, that we're sort of putting on these personas, these. It's kind of like Brian, right, you know, or Shauna, anyone, right? What do a lot of people think when you go off to college, right? You were a certain person in high school, then you go off to college where nobody knows you, and now you can sort of recast yourself.
You can reinvent yourself.
Right, sure, why not, right?
Interesting.
Sherry's going to come on next week and tell everybody listening to the show that's what we do in social media. So, Brian, you're making these connections in real life with folks you engaged with or know or sort of had relationships with in social. What do you think about that? Do you think she's wrong, or
I think she's. I completely disagree. I mean, total
okay.
contrarian opinion on that. That I think what you see from a social media perspective is actually more the real people out there than what you would see if you just were sitting down with them, or we met at a chamber function, or we met at church. I think what you're seeing on social media is it's just the opposite. I think you're seeing more of Brian Wimpen because, you know, I have less risk by doing it that way than you would to meet me in person where I'd be a lot more reserved. I'm completely the opposite. I think she's going, you know, hitting it from a different avenue. I got to finish reading the damn book, obviously, before next week, so I don't like talk
me
myself.
Me too, by the way. That's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, right. Me too.
She's a bright lady. She's been researching this for 30 years. So I better have my, you know, I better have some good
ammo.
You
need
your
ducks in
the
row for
opinion.
This one.
Yeah, just a few. But, yeah, I completely disagree. I mean, I really do. I think that you get more of the – I think you get more genuineness on social media just because that's who you people really are because there's less risk there of getting rejected, on making an ass of yourself or whatever.
Do you really think there's less risk or less reason to care?
I guess I see it as both. I mean, I think there's probably your filters – your filters aren't as out front, where there's probably, you know, some immediate repercussion. So,
well, yeah. I mean, William, what do you think? Are people their true selves out there, or are we all sort of play acting in different roles for the audiences that we perceive to be interested in us?
Yeah, you know, it's like family. You know, you can't really pick your family. It turns out they're blood, but. You invest time in the people that you really like, and it's the same in social media. You fall in love with someone's online persona. You meet them in person, and they're a complete turd. And then you
that would be me. Shauna, that's true. I've consistently disappointed people in the last few years when I've met them.
What the hell are you talking about? You didn't disappoint me.
Yeah, that's not true. But I think the thing is, you then start to kind of, you call people out. I mean, you know, there's probably, you know, 100 people listening right now and following on the Twitter stream and stuff like that. There's people that are in our space and are in our community that have had bad experience after bad experience with people. And at one point, the community just says, yeah, you're gone. You need to go on and do something else. You're good. Go on to another career. Bye-bye. Because they set an expectation in social media, and then in person, they never fulfilled on it. So I, you know, getting back to the way I approach social media once again, it is not everyone's approach, and I believe that, you know, the world's big enough for everyone and everyone's approach. So it worked. I tried to do a fractured approach to social media and have different personalities and whatever, and that just didn't work for me. And so then I just kind of flipped it and made one personality, me, and then I've lost people.
That's a great point, though, Ben. That's a great point because I think lots of people are in that space where you're at, or at least you wrestled with for a while and you moved past, which is, okay, I want to make a joke. I want to share a funny story or a picture of my kid. Where should I put it? Where's my appropriate place to share that, right?
Steve, I came to it. It's a big, giant house. It's a house of lies. And how do you maintain the house of lies. This is the medium I can only be. And I'll tell you, I like hip-hop. Okay, here's a little secret about William Tincup. I've listened to hip-hop my entire life. I like hip-hop. And I like hip-hop that will make you blush. There.
I totally forgot about you.
I can tell you.
Seriously.
I
introduced Brian.
Mike.
And T-Pain. But here's the thing. If you don't like that about me, unfriend me, unfollow me, unlink with me. I don't give a shit. I'm going
to
be
me,
and some people are going to like that, and some people aren't. And I'll tell you, I posted a Funny or Die video that was an Akon song that he was singing with some of the guys from SNL. And I love sex or whatever it is. And I had people hinder me. On DM me and like, I can't believe this. This is basically pornography. I'm like, well, great, man. There's a little button over there on your computer. X me.
Yeah, the funny thing, William, that you mentioned that is, you know, you brought up the hip hop angle with, you know, and perhaps Brian and William, we should talk about this offline. I thought, as a method of drumming up more enthusiasm and interest in both our shows, that we should sort of conjure up like a fake rivalry, sort of like a Biggie and Tupac, you know, East Coast, West Coast rivalry. I thought, you know.
Oh.
That would generate more interest. So if we can maybe talk offline about that, you know.
They did try and steal me, Steve. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I heard about that, Shauna, by the way. You know, I let that slide, quite frankly, because I have no bargaining power other than loyalty, but come on. Don't be taking my co-hosts, guys. guys.
it was a failed bid. We were rebuffed.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We're gonna try to squeeze in one more call before the end of the show. Area code 815, you're on the HR happy hour.
I had 45 minutes after the hour in the pool. When do I get to collect?
Tin Cup will send you something. Tin Cup will send you a hat with the name Tin Cup on it.
Or the drive-through HR tube top.
There you go.
Good t-shirt.
That was a picture that
we can send an acquire koozie. Do you need a beer koozie?
We could do that.
From acquire?
Sitting right in front of me.
Drinking
a Diet Coke out of my acquired beer koozie.
Well, that's sad, John. So please, you know, come on. Hey, listen, we got about just a couple minutes to go. It's been a fantastic show. We're going to open up. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to announce this early because there's lots of people on the line. We're going to open up after show for a few minutes. Hopefully William and Brian can hang out for a few minutes past the top of the hour. What happens on after show is once the live stream cuts off at the top of the hour, if you've called in to 646-378-1086, we'll open up all those lines and we'll hang out a little bit on the after show. So if you want to get involved in that, please call in now. Shauna will open up all the lines once we hit the top of the hour, and we'll hang out for a few minutes. Brian and William, this has been a really fun, interesting. You know, I'm glad we did this show. We could carry on as well. But before we end the show, I just want to make sure we have a chance for you guys to talk a little bit about drive-through HR, what's coming up, and anything else you want to mention. So, Brian, I'll start with you first. Drive-through HR, what's happening, you know, tomorrow? Obviously, you're probably on again, and what's happening going forward?
Absolutely. Let me think here. The cool thing, and I got to throw this out because I didn't get it done earlier, I'm part of the social media team for HR Florida. So drive-through HR is going to be down there. And yeah, thanks. It's
HR Florida is a great event. Fantastic.
Good stuff.
And now I'm in Orlando. So now you guys can come visit.
See? So that's cool. And we've got there's another thing, another little announcement that we'll get probably a week or two that we'll be able to share that has to do with SHRM. That's pretty cool. So I'll do a little bit of a teaser with that. So other than that, we're doing a few shows. We're going to do Oklahoma HR. You know, I know a few people there, so we were able to beg, borrow, and steal that. I'll be in Illinois, working on a few other conferences, hopefully Arkansas, and we're going to make a few rounds as, you know, doing the show, just talking to people. That's what we do. It's how we roll.
Great. And I saw a tweet, by the way, that the after show call number is 646-378-1086.
Uh-oh, did I tweet it out wrong? Bad,
Jonah. William, any thoughts? Last thoughts from you before we head to the after show and even more probably cursing and salacious content.
Absolutely. We'll go from R-rated to X-rated. I can't wait to see a lot of people in person. To what Brian said earlier about being over in Atlanta for a couple of days and just meeting people randomly. We just got together, just kind of talked a little bit about business and life and the in real life experiences. I don't know. That's what I'm looking forward to. HR Evolution and a lot of shows. SHRM, the FOT show. HR Tech later on in the year. I just can't wait to see people in person.
Right.
And to anyone that ever travels through Dallas-Fort Worth, give me a shout, and we'll go and get coffee.
Awesome. William, Brian, thank you so much. Shauna, fantastic job. We'll see you next week. Sherry Turkle talking about Alone Together and how social networks are basically ruining your life. Yes, you are listening tonight. You have to be on next week. It's going to be our best show ever. The week after that, the guys from Ripple, Dan and David Pramer, Dan Ebo, David
cool.
Pramer from Ripple, hottest company in the HR tech space, are coming on. And then Women of HR after that. So fantastic shows coming up.
Really?
Get that together, Shauna.
I said Acquire, really do something on that.
Thanks to Acquire tonight, and thank you so much. And Shauna, open up all the lines. We'll see you on the after show. Good night, everyone. Thank you from the HR Happy Hour.
This episode of HR Happy Hour was brought to you by Acquire. Get the scoop on Org Publisher 10 and free training at our upcoming user conference, Structure 2011. That's right, free. Everybody loves free stuff. Check out acquire.com/structure2011 for details and learn how you can save $200 by registering early.
Hear people in the background.
All right, we made it. Fantastic show, man.
That was
sweet.
Fun.
That was fun. That was great, guys. William, Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else who's hanging out with us? There's about 15 people on the line. We are on the after
say
show.
Hi.
So whatever you say is not being streamed live to the internet, but does make the archives to be listened to later on. So please keep that under advisement before you say anything.
Oh, whatever.
Made that
want.
Mistake once.
That hasn't stopped me from saying anything, Steve.
Zupan, my friend,
yeah.
How are you?
Hey, why didn't you talk?
Hey, Shauna. What?
Frank, is it cold in Cleveland?
Oh, this is beyond cold. It's just bitter like me. It's a cold winter day.
Don't put it like that.
It's like 50 in Florida today, so.
It's awful. We've had a cold snap where we're in single digits and.
Oh my god, it was brutal here too. So I feel your pain, man. But
it's just New York. I'm really glad I'm in Florida, actually, for all the reasons. This winter, man, it's sucked everywhere but here so far.
Oh, it's beating us down, man. Beating us down. Too freaking cold, but. Man, good stuff tonight, man. William and Brian were fantastic, of course.
You guys are great, yeah.
I really appreciate
it. Great dialogue going today, both on the show and the stream.
Twitch stream was great. I'm going to tell you, Zupan, I hope you're around next week because the stuff we'll be doing next week is going to be really, really fascinating. It's the whole, you know, sort of constant connectivity is. And what the price of constant connectivity is, you know, it's going to be an interesting show.
I have that book. I got that book, and I've got it on Tammy's Nook, and I haven't picked it up and started reading it yet. I'm going to try to find time in the next week to see if maybe this weekend get caught up on it since
just
you can't go outside without getting frostbite.
This is everyone's homework. You have to read that book.
Yeah, and Shauna, we really need to figure out a way, you know, in the next few days, you know, we can talk about it offline, that, you know, maybe put a couple of posts on the HR Happy Hour site about some of the concepts in the book, you know.
Ooh,
I think you're further,
awesome.
You know what I mean? I think you're further along, or just on your own site. You don't have to, you know, do it on the HR Happy Hour site, but just to generate a little bit of interest in it, because, I mean, it's challenging and kind of fascinating stuff and interesting, you know.
Great.
And,
hey Steve, this is William. Why don't we do a poll on potentially on Fistful of Talent and try to drive people to like a central location, get some polling data, and then that way before next, you know, the next show, we can actually say, hey, listen, we had 1,000 people respond. This
yeah, that's
is what
a great,
they see.
Ooh,
that's a great idea.
I don't think we'll get 1,000 people, but ooh, cool.
It would be interesting to see what
has a good profile. So yeah, maybe. That's William. That's a great idea. Let me see what I can do because, you know, I've been a little, you know, I don't go to Jessica or Chris and, you know, try to promote the radio show on Fistful, you know. But if we could do something like that, if I could post something on Fistful that was related to the content and then linked out to, you know, that kind of a thing, that might work.
Oh.
There you go, a Fistful poll.
Is someone doing dishes?
No, I'm just rinsing it. I'm just rinsing a plate. Come on. It's after
I was gonna say I better not hear any flushing. That's just gonna get
no
weird.
No flushing. I'm
who's
just
that on?
A plate.
William, you're at ERE in March, right? In San Diego.
I am. I have a session on the first day, social media and kind of ethical dilemmas in recruiting. So it's gonna be kind of fun.
Because I'll be out there. We're
nice.
We're
a lack
doing
of
like.
In recruiting, what was that?
Ethical dilemmas. World and dilemmas in social media and recruiting.
If you haven't done that with William, you've got to do it because it will change your life about social media
China,
and organization.
This is my China just chimes in out of nowhere. China, fantastic.
I'm everywhere.
China, I think just hanging out with William Tinkup changes your life.
You know, you're right.
Really?
You're absolutely right, Mike.
I'll be at ERE, I think. I'm trying to work that out. I got credentials to go, but I got to make sure I can do the travel. So hopefully I'll see you guys out there.
We're going to be doing, William, you know, we need to talk, you know, when we get out there or maybe before, because we're going to be doing, the reason I'm going is ERE asked me to sort of help, you know, do some extra content and sort of hosting type of stuff on the live stream.
So,
like, you know, almost like, you know, like Bob Costas sort of monitors the Olympics and then he talks.
I love Bob Costas.
Yeah. So he talks for a little bit, then he kicks it out to ski jumping, you know, and then they ski jump for a while, and then they kick it back to him. And so I'm sort of like the Bob Costas of that event on the live stream. So
nice.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Have you been to an ERE before?
No, I've never been. No.
Oh, you'll love it. Really, really wonderful events, great content. And the expo hall will be humming this year just because of everyone's starting to purchase talent acquisition stuff. So it'll be a really nice show.
But yeah. So if you want to, like, sit with me for half an hour during one of those breaks and, you know.
Oh, I'd love to.
Chill about what's going on at ERE, so that would be cool.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We're going to go down to Craig Fisher's putting together a group to go down to South by Southwest in early March, March 10th or so. So that's, he's doing a TalentNet Live down there. So that's going to be interesting because every time that I've been to South by Southwest, it's it's been more or less a blur. And so this one's going to be this one's going to be a little bit different, I think.
Right.
Nice. So in other words, hang out with you if you want a party.
Yeah.
I think I remember that from a friend tech, actually.
Yeah, Austin's a great place. Texas by and large, and I love Texas, but Texas is not a pretty state.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of
other
places.
I'm going to try to put it together that I can get out to Acquire, who's our sponsor of our show. Acquire's user conference in I think it's in May. I'm going to try and get out to them as well in Texas.
Here's a real lateral move. I was at the Zappos all-employee meeting today. They do one a quarter. And they let anybody come, by the way, speaking of transparency. But Tony Hsieh talked a lot about Austin and how fabulous Austin is and how the deal that Zappos just made with the city of Vegas to move into downtown Vegas is his attempt to create Austin in Vegas.
Mm.
What I was going to ask you, China, is did you say lateral?
You're too quick for me, William. I did actually say lateral.
Hey, China.
All
China.
Of our
we finally get to talk about the ladder? What?
Oh, Zupan. By the way, Zupan, I didn't say this on the show. Sean, I ran out of time. I'll say this on the after show. We are very, very close to nailing down the Ladders HR Happy Hour show with Alex and Mark from the Ladders.
That'll be awesome.
It's going to happen. I don't know when. So I hope it doesn't happen too late that we've all forgotten about how much we hate the Ladders or get riled up with the Ladders.
This discussion is going on way too long.
Wait a minute. Zupan, say that again, Zupan.
This has been going on for so long. Who used to read Cheesehead's blog?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
5 years ago, we were having the same discussion. The same discussion. Should people pay? Blah, 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 blah. The same discussion. No different whatsoever. Now it's a little louder because people have larger channels to spread their content. Now there's an FOT that Josh Letourneau can put his content on, and people can go put their content on larger sites, but it's the same discussion. Should somebody pay? It's their money.
Let's ask them like this.
What the hell?
Let's have a deathmatch. or a cage match. Let's put Lori and Josh in some type of celebrity death match about the ladders.
I shouldn't go buy scotch.
You could sell tickets to that.
Right. So, I'm working on it. I think we're close. You know, I've got a couple of little deals to work out. But I was at that ladders thing, that ladders event last week, or it was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember now. So I was there.
It's all a blur for Steve at this point.
But you know, those guys were open and honest, relatively. So but if they come on the show, all I promised was, look, I'm not going to attack you. You're my guest. You don't invite someone to come over for dinner and beat the crap out of them. But, you know, I'm not going to either. You know, I'm not going to screen callers and what happens.
No.
So
they have to be able to confront things.
I think they're willing to do it, and so I think it's going to happen in the next few weeks.
Well, good. Cool. I thought that they should have done it when you were out there.
That was a weird vibe that night. But you know what? There were so many people there, and you had Sumser and Crispin, and you know Chris Dunn was there, and Kevin Wheeler, and of course myself. You know, a lot of heavyweights. You know, big time, big pro.
Totally.
Yeah, they were
George Foreman.
Yeah, exactly.
He's running with the crowd.
I tell you what, I love Brian. I love those big shows. If you're going to be doing shows from HR Florida, I guess, and doing live shows from events is really, really cool. China, you know, you've come on a couple of our live events, and those are great. Those live,
they're awesome.
Venue events.
You guys do such a great job. The live shows are just phenomenal.
Yeah, I love the ability to be able to look at someone. You know what I mean? You're looking across the field.
Yeah,
it is a different feel.
You get a better show out of that. Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
The first live show you did was the first HR Evolution, wasn't it?
You know, Shauna, you can check me on that. I think that's true.
No, the first live show that we did together was the first HR Evolution. The first live show that we did, I think, was Sales Spectacularly.
Oh, okay.
right, in Chicago. And we
did
fail.
Which was like a week or two before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
It was really close to that, yeah.
So, yeah.
Honestly, at HR Evolution this year, Shauna, I don't plan on doing a show. I don't have it on the – it's not in my radar. But
when
are we going to have a chance?
When are we going to have what? When will we have a chance for it?
Yeah, you know.
Sunday morning in the restaurant before we leave.
I'll be sleeping.
But there's some fantastic things. There's some really exciting. There's some really exciting HR Evolution news that the agenda should probably be released sometime over this weekend.
Good.
We're very, very close. We're waiting for a couple of confirmations and. The venue should be released early next week. That's what I'm told. So,
is it going to be someplace fun?
I think so. You know, I'm not directly involved in that part of the operation. I'm more of the agenda guy. So if you're unhappy with the hotel or the venue, don't blame me. So
throw your teammates under the bus, are you, Steve?
It's in an awesome place. Yeah, they pay.
I thought I heard
tight.
It was
going
to be in a Waffle House.
Straight up.
That would be awesome.
Huddle House. They're doing the morning in the Waffle House and the afternoon in the Huddle House.
Yeah.
So we can compare the two. It's very strategic.
We've got some really good, you know, great content, great speakers, great event, you know, everything. Good sponsors, you know, we're everything is working out, you know, fairly well. And so hopefully in the next few days everything will get out there in terms of agenda, location, logistics, and things like that. So we're really looking forward to it. Is anyone going to be at HR Magazine Executive Forum thing in New York next month?
I will not.
Chirp. No.
Just me. Okay. Well, I'll be there. I'll wave to you guys.
Crickets.
Are you going to do a live show for them?
No, I actually got – shockingly, Frank, I actually am on a panel. I'm actually going to sit up there with Josh Burson and a couple of other folks to talk about HR technology at the actual event.
You're becoming quite the draw, Mr. Bose.
That's fantastic. I got a shave and a haircut.
He is Mr. Popular.
I have to, like, get a haircut or something before I go there.
If it's part of your brand, you better keep up with it, bro.
Right. You have to keep a shaved head. What will Trish say if you don't have it?
Right. So, yeah. So, cool. Awesome. And then the HR Evolution after that in April. So, great. All right, guys. Any final words before we call it a night on the HR Happy Hour?
Final words.
Show, man.
Awesome.
William, Brian, thank you so much. Shauna, great job.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Shauna. China, Frank, John, everybody else, thank you so much. You know, Shauna, I can play a little song on the way out. What can we play here?
Of course.
Nice. Hip hop.
We could do a 4-minute Kansas. 4-minute Kansas outlude.
I don't know if I have any of that in my
King
little.
King Fantastic.
We started with Journey.
College boy.
I don't have T-Pain. I'm sorry.
Damn.
Let's go with.
Hate.
Let's go with. We have Guns N' Roses. All right. Thank you, everybody, for the HR Happy Hour. We'll see you next time. Thank you. Good night.